unmerited favor that it sometimes goes, I think, a little too easy over our minds. We don't really take enough time to think about what does that really mean? If my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, what cares do I have?
Amen.
Let the storm clouds arise. Let my life fall apart. My life can't fall apart. Amen. I've got a life that started before anything ever existed. Amen. Hallelujah. My name is in the... How many believes their name's in that book?
Yes.
See, I don't just believe that because I just said it. God came to me and He filled me with His Spirit as a down payment. Your name is in there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got something to give God praise for this morning. Thank you, Father. Woo. Glory to God. Let's open up our Bible. Zechariah chapter 4. Before I forget as well, keep my dad and mom in prayer. They're down there with my mom's father. He's still in the hospital. He seems to be doing all right, but I don't think it's as good as they had hoped. But I don't know any details besides that. And they plan on coming back Tuesday. So, good Lord willing, he'll be here Wednesday. And I want him to be here Wednesday. I'll just say that. I miss him when he's not there, I tell you what. Also, 2 weeks from now, I forgot to print the calendar again, I'm sorry. But 2 weeks from now, on this the 22nd, we're going to have Brother Trevor Emond again. I think last time I was here, I wasn't here for that. So I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm going to be here this time. So we got Brother Trevor coming through. So keep him in prayer as well next few weeks here. Zechariah 4, verse 9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? I want to make emphasis on that. Who is despising the day of things that people don't think are significant?
Yeah.
For they shall rejoice, and they shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. I like to preach this morning. God's power is unlocked by simplicity. God's power is unlocked by simplicity. Let's bow our heads. If you have a need again, anything else you might have thought of and forgot, let's lift that up to the Lord now as we approach His Word. His Word will fulfill our needs. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to be in Your house again. We pray that You would take these words, Lord, that I might have prepared, but Lord, it doesn't mean anything, Lord, if You don't come and speak it, Lord, to the people this morning. We surrender ourselves to You. Lord, we're grateful to know we're saved by grace, Father, that there's a blood atonement that washes us clean. Lord, we're not afraid to come to Your throne of grace because You asked us to come. And we're coming this morning saying, Lord, feed us again. Give us another portion, Lord, of Your Spirit that we might walk a little bit closer than we did before. We know we have to leave better or worse. Lord, help each one to leave a better Christian than they were before they got here. Father, I pray for the needs of the people. Lord, You know what they are. I pray that the Spirit that discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart would stand here this morning and just discern our hearts from all evil. Lord, that only Your character might stand. Fulfill every need, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I've preached on this topic before about the simplicity of God, but I like to take it in this angle that a lot of times people think it's just a choice that God is simple. They think that it's because He doesn't want to be complicated. The fact of the matter is He just is simple. That's His character. His character is not to confuse, because God is no author of confusion, but an author of peace. And for Him to be an author of peace, He must be easily understood. But why so many people, so many times, they read the Bible and say, oh, it's too complicated, I get confused. Or they read the Messiah and say, well, I look at these quotes and this and that, and I'm confused about this. That just goes to show that you're not listening to the right voice just yet, because God's character is simplicity.
Amen.
It's just straightforward. God doesn't play games. He doesn't joke around like we think. He just clowns around and just, oh, maybe He's telling the truth, maybe He's not. God always means what He says.
Yeah.
God does not have any idle words that came out of His mouth. That's why He said, we'll give account for all the idle words we've said. You said some, I said some this morning. We'll give account for that. But aren't you glad You already took account now and said, Lord, forgive me of that and take it away. That way my words will not be idle anymore. You know when the words are idle? When they're Your words.
Yeah.
But if God's word gets in your lips, then you don't have to worry about being idle. It'll take effect. Brother Thomas might have just said, I want this little prayer request for this man. That's the word of God going forth. That's why it produces every time. And when people want to make excuses when it doesn't produce, that just proves you didn't have the faith you thought you did in the first place. It's not time to go make excuses. It's time to go and get right with God. Because that Brother Branham even says that one time. He said, man, if we pray for someone and they don't get well, it's time to fast and pray. There's something wrong somewhere. Woo, you tell a message church anymore to fast and pray, they'll let you know, hey, I'm saved. That's the point. We're supposed to be saved. We're supposed to act a certain way. When something's wrong, somebody that's really got the Holy Ghost don't go, hey, you know, that's all right. We'll let the devil chill out here a little while. Show me when the Holy Ghost allowed the devil to sit in the church. And there's too many devils allowed to sit around in church because they're able to hide well. When we don't want to preach the straight and narrow way. When we don't want to preach that God in simplicity. When somebody gets a carnal idea trying to take, for instance, I've seen this before, if they take certain types out of the Old Testament, and by the time they're done working with this thing, I don't know how I can even get healed anymore. You know, we got to do this on this day, and we got to do that on that day, and I got to eat this much on Thursday, and if I do this on Wednesday, then I'll be all right. It has nothing to do with any of that. Ask, and you shall receive.
Yes.
I am not trusting in the merits of Andrew Kressel. I'm not trusting in the merits of even William Branham. I am trusting in the merits of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the gospel message.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if your interpretation of the message of the hour leaves that principle, you've left it.
Right.
Because the message was not a doctrine. It was a man.
Yeah.
It was a man who desired to be revealed. And the way he did it was through simplicity.
Yeah.
So why are so many confused? Why are so many looking but can never seem to find it? The Bible says why? It said they would look to and fro trying to find the Word of God and they couldn't find it. Because they think a man goes, well, you know what? Maybe I'll take up religion. I'll go see what it's all about. Just an atheist, you know, don't know nothing. Walks in junior church and what does he see most times? The same entertainment he saw out there, just now they're talking about Jesus instead of maybe football. But it's the same thing. We got the lights on. We got the basses blaring. We got the streams of flying. It's a rock concert. Not in the church of the living God. When people walk into the church, they need to recognize one thing. Jesus Christ was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Brother Branham talks about that in the Church Age book. Y'all make me preach. I'm going to take a lot of water, I think. That anymore, churches are judged by the way they worship, not by the power of God. And if you want to judge a church by the way it worships, we'll get blown out of the water by some of these churches. Satan was a pretty good worshiper himself, if you remember right. He knows how to praise God. He knows how to go about it. Balaam knew how to get to God. He knew the 7 sacrifices he had to give. He could be religious. He could go through the motions. But down in their heart, they don't mean anything. Which means the presence of God will never get into them. But praise be to God. If you've received the Holy Ghost, you are not in that equation. You have been brought into a fellowship. That wherever you are, He is.
Yes.
Isn't that what his prayer was? Didn't Jesus say that? That we may be one, that wherever I am, you will be there also?
Amen.
And it's so simple. As we went through those seals, I hope you're seeing it. That it's not, this is, we got to leave this alone. This is, how can I get some more? I want to eat this up. I get it now. That seal's open. Oh, that's me back there? That's what this was talking about. Yes. Yes, exactly what it was. The book of redemption was what we just read, the Lamb's book of life. And there were names hidden in there.
Yes.
And now we know that Brother Branham says it's not that your literal name's written down. It's that there's a revelation in there.
Amen.
And then when that revelation unlocks, if you can receive it, that proves you're in there. Because only the elect can.
Yes.
Woo! Glory to God. So why are so many people confused? Because they don't want to take God's way of approaching it. God doesn't care about your intellectualism. He cares about your heart.
Yeah.
So when you approach Him, it has to be in sincerity or you'll get nothing out of it.
Right.
Now, you can be sincerely wrong. You can be super sincere and a Catholic and do novenas and everything else, but you're going about it the wrong way. It doesn't do anything. As we just gave a couple examples there, Cain was very religious. He was very sincere in what he was doing. He built an altar. He went and planted fruit and brought it. He put effort into it, but it wasn't according to the Word of God. You can't just take some and nitpick at it. You must bring the whole Word together.
Amen.
Yes, you must be sincere to get anything from God. God doesn't want no dry eye confession out of you when you do something wrong. All that does is prove you don't love Him enough just yet. And I know it's hard to stay that way because in this Laodicea, all there is no love. That's what everybody's used to. And if we allow it to affect us, it'll even change our confession before God. We'll go, I'm not too bad. No, we're bad.
Yeah.
We're awful. But see, if you can finally recognize that, you'll stop trying to get saved. You'll stop trying to stay saved, and you'll just be saved. Hallelujah. But God is so plain that people, they really just look right over the top of it. They think, no way, no way God's there. That can't mean nothing. Oh, this little four-walled building, God would come down to that place. What about these other churches right around here? Why isn't he there? It has nothing to do with quantity. It has to do with quality.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
If there was one person here this morning that sincerely wanted to hear from God, God would come.
Amen.
Not for the ministry, even not for the deacons, not for that person. Because God cares about each and every one of us.
Amen.
Think of being the God of the universe for a minute. See if you can grasp this for a minute. You know everything. You know what everybody's doing. And yet you set aside enough time to intimately take care of every one of your children.
Mm.
Think of all the other things God could be thinking about, and yet every time you ask, he shows up, doesn't he?
Right. Yes.
Isn't that a wonderful God that we serve?
Yes.
And when doesn't he come? Because people don't ask him the way he said so.
Right.
He didn't say, ask that your joys might be all right. Say, ask that you might be, you know, complacent. No, ask that your joys may be full.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
I think sometimes we're a little afraid to ask God. We think we're twisting his arm. Oh my, he doesn't want to heal. And a lot of times the way people preach it acts like God doesn't really want to heal anybody. No, he died that every sickness would be healed. Every effect of sin in any way, shape, or form, he died that it'd be destroyed.
Yeah.
And it's not his fault you don't accept it. It's yours if you don't. God is all around. You can see him everywhere. Even this mystery of the seals, I tell you what, I could go out there and find a plant and tell you all about it. And you'd be like, oh, that's all it is? Yeah, I can go find a dog and tell you about it again. It just mattered. All of nature testifies to God. And his character, and his attitude, and his plan of salvation. It's all in nature right there. That's why Romans 1:20. Let me just read this real quick. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. What is he saying? The things that are made that people see, they all testify to the things that are eternal. Which means if they would just take the time to actually look at it for a minute, they would realize there is a God somewhere.
That's right.
And how many times have we seen scientists, when they start really trying to break it down with an honest heart, they go, there's no way. There's no way. This can't even be physically possible. It would be like winning the lottery 1,000,000 times in a day. That's the chances of life existing without somebody behind it. Because there's just so many integral parts. You think I would take all the instruments in this thing and blow it up and it's going to make an iPhone or iPod? It's not going to happen. How much more complicated life itself? Where one cell in your body is more complicated than that thing is. There's a God. He testifies of himself every day, doesn't he? When the sun comes out, everybody loves to watch the sun come up. If you just recognize that's the Son of God coming up every day. That he's not trying to get away from you. He's trying to shine on you that you'll have fellowship with him. That's the God we serve. He's not running away from man. He's not shooting arrows down at him. He's running after him.
Yes.
And every time he tries to go after him, man just pulls away a little bit more, a little bit more. But aren't you glad of the predestination of God?
Amen.
That as you tried to run,
yes.
Any true Christian tried to run at one time.
Yes.
And as you tried, it just got harder and harder. Every step was just that much more pressure going back. I can't live like this. I can't live like this. And I tell you what, even a Christian, when he does get born again, if you get back into those things in any way, shape, or form, it'll eat you up like that all day, every day. You might as well just come back to Calvary and get right.
Amen.
Quit wasting your time dealing with that. Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. No, the blood atoned for that.
Yeah.
I just heard a radio preacher. This has baffled my mind. Because I've been saying this for a while now, and then I heard a denominational minister say the same thing. He said, for me, to say that I'm not good enough for God is really proud. I am saying that my sins are so great, Christ's blood couldn't atone for it. There's no way. So I realized what I was trying to be humble with, I was actually being proud. Because I thought I was so bad that there's no way the God of the universe could do anything about me. Has nothing to do with that at all, does it? He died that all the sins of the world would be forgiven, but in his mind he knew who would accept it.
That's right.
So he made provisions for your whole life. As you walked out, you know you've been there. You've almost died so many times, didn't you? Before you came to Christ, and for some reason you couldn't do it. You tried to go over the edge. You tried to do this too much or that too much. And right before you got there, something stopped you every time. And he said, come back. What was that? It's that seed on the inside.
Oh.
It's that eagle nature on the inside. You're sitting there clucking with the chickens, and every time you try to cluck, it doesn't come out right.
Right.
And after a while, you just get tired of being fake. Said, well, where's the real thing at? And if you just look up one time, he's right there.
Yeah.
Come up here. Come on. The old mother eagle, I love how Brother Bram tells the story. She was always up there. She was always watching him. She wasn't worried about it. You think God doesn't know what's going on? You don't think he's got it figured out through and through, day in, day out? We don't outdo the grace of God anyway.
No.
There's so much grace to be given that we don't even take benefit of it sometimes. We'll take out some little carnal interpretation or this or that or whatever instead of just taking the promise of God that the skies are full of and walking in that. Lord help us. Let me read that verse one more time. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his internal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Look, and people make the Godhead hard. He just said if you'll just look at nature, you can figure it out.
Amen.
A man has three parts to him.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any Christian denomination in the world that doesn't believe this, that he's a body, a soul, and a spirit.
Right.
But for some reason, they can't see that God would be the same one.
Yeah.
And then they'll believe that, I think they don't call it a theophany most times. They call it a Christophany. I can never say that word. But it means the same thing, that there's a body up there that's already, you know, it's a word body and it's not, it has no sin. And they believe that we have that. And you go, what are you missing here that you still got three gods? Am I three people standing right here? Do I have communion with myself? That doesn't make sense, does it? The plurality of God is not God within. My, it's so hard to say this the right way. It's not just Jesus standing there by himself. It's him in his life that came out of that source. It is him with himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the plurality is you and I. That's what polygamy was all about. If you go study that, every wife was called, we'll say Abraham. He had two wives. We know that. They were both called the wife of Abraham because it was a position. God, we are the wife of Jesus Christ. Though many members, we are one body. Woo! Predestinated before the foundation of the world, before anything God here, to receive this glorious gospel. So why is there so many Christians not happy? Now I ain't talking just denominational. Now I'm talking the message of the hour, having the Holy Ghost. Why aren't we happy? Why aren't we healed? Why are we distressed? Let me read this. God hiding himself in simplicity, then revealing himself in the same. Brother Branham says this. They miss him by the way that he reveals himself. For he is so great, yet hides himself in simplicity to make himself known to the least, see? Don't try to get the great because he goes over the top of it. But listen to the simplicity of God, and then you'll find God right here in the simple way. High polished worldly wisdom educated always misses him. I like that word, always. If you approach God that way, you'll always miss him. Every time. Now, I'm not here, and I know there's school teachers. Hey, look at that. I know there's school teachers, two or three. I know sitting right in here, and I'm not here to contradict school and education, try to support illiterateness. I'm not here for that. But what it is, the people have placed so much upon that until even in the seminaries and so forth, they're missing the very God. The very thing that God has put before them. Isn't that sad? Imagine what's going to happen when Brother Bram preached disappointments at judgment. He says it on the tape, but I don't think the sermon itself was taped. But he says, it's not the bootlegger going to be disappointed on that day. It's not going to be the prostitute. She knows what's going to come. It's that man that gave his life to a Baptist seminary. Every day, studied the scriptures, was there to teach others this way. We think, oh, we're so sincere. Go be a Pharisee for a little while where you don't even get in until you got the Bible memorized. But that doesn't mean anything to God because you're approaching God like a robot.
Mm-hmm.
You're approaching God like he's just a statue. And God does not want to be treated like an idol.
Right.
He's alive.
Amen.
Why do you think he hates idols so much? It's such a bad representation of himself. He can't stand it. So every time he saw idols, he said, take those things and break them into pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And throw them in the river. Just burn them down. Because I'm not a God that's a statue that you just stand there and look at me.
Yeah.
And that's how we want to treat him, isn't it? We think we got to talk all the time and he's never going to talk back to us. If you'll just shut up and listen,
right,
he will talk back.
Yeah.
But you have to look. It's not the way you think it's going to be. If you've got your own idea how God's going to talk back, then you've already told, you are trying to twist God's arm and say, do it this way, God. I want you to reveal yourself this way. Look, that's not the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ don't push around her husband. She says, yes, Lord. She says, yes, Lord. And if you listen to the voice of God, it's so much better than anything you thought of. I just had something come happen to me. I'll tell you what, I was just stewing about it. And if it wasn't for that morning, I don't know what it was, but I was just sitting there praying, and all of a sudden, God just gave me peace about it. I was like, I ain't gonna worry about it no more. Gave me this peace, and then something happened that should have just enraged me even more. And I was like, thank God he gave me the peace before it came.
Right.
And that's so wonderful. Why? Because he already knows what's going to happen. Right. So as it comes, it doesn't catch God off surprise. Oh, he needs some peace here. Hey, son, it's okay. I'm right here with you. Amen. And as I realized that, I said, yeah, what do I care? It's all going to burn up anyhow. You know, the job and my house and my cars, whatever. When it's all said and done, just think of that. Every time you see a car in the junkyard, do you know that one time that was a brand new car?
That's right, yeah.
Shows you why this world ain't worth much, is it? I ain't never owned a brand new car. I don't think I'll ever be able to. But really, do I care? I've got a body that can go so much faster, so much cheaper, so much more effective than any old car can.
Yeah.
But see, if you'll listen to the devil's high-polished thoughts, say, oh, heaven, oh, yeah, you'll make it, but it's not all that great. You know, let's enjoy these pleasures. Look what I've made here with my intellectualism. Isn't that right? Woo! And to think how foolish would that be, but it happens all the time, doesn't it? People will esteem these things so great. But if you just step back for a minute, you go, this is foolish. Because the wisdom of men is foolishness to God. And God's wisdom is foolishness to man. Because we think of this. Who would have put the plate of salvation into a hand of a man that killed Christians? And here's Paul saying, oh, I'm the messenger to the Gentiles. Why would God use a man that just killed Christians? God's foolishness is still greater than all the wisdom man ever came up with. So even when he does it, I think he does it just to feel good. You know what I mean? Just watch this, devil. He did it with Job, didn't he? He said, oh, you think you got him? No, no, no. Go ahead. Go ahead. Try it. Take down every barrier. Here you go. Go after it. You know, he's kind of bragging on him a little bit, don't you think? What do you think God thinks about you when the trials come? And we don't, if you stay in communion with God, you hear him say, attaboy.
Right.
Atta girl, keep it up.
Yes.
So many times we think, oh, that was nothing. You know, I just, whatever, I just blew off that little luster. That, you know, that's just normal, whatever. And then you'll get a little upset at somebody. And before you know it, you're circumceiving. Those rabbit trails of the devil. Are you tired of going down that road? Don't you realize it's a dead end every time?
Right.
Why do we keep turning off the Word of God and going other directions? Stay on the Word.
Yeah.
I am saved by grace for all time and eternity.
Yeah.
My sins are washed away. I've accepted the atonement and God gave me the evidence.
Yes.
I don't need any more evidence. I've already received the evidence.
Yes.
Anytime I get down, if I'll just stay in the presence of God, this evidence will produce more evidence.
Right.
Every time I start getting down, something else happens that proves I'm a son of God.
Amen.
And why does God do that? Because He loves us. He doesn't want to watch you be downcast. We think of you and your children for just a minute and really believe that that's how God treats you.
Yes.
Mom, you want your kid being sad? No. You can do whatever you can. They're getting a little spoiled rotten. Yeah, you're going to spank them. Not because you hate them, because you want people to like them.
Right.
And aren't you glad you didn't go out as a Christian acting the way you were when you're in the world, but you got converted first?
Yeah.
My, I tell you what, being a hypocrite is the worst thing you could ever be. You might as well just be a sinner. Just
right.
Go be a sinner.
Yep.
Just don't confess Christ, don't do nothing, go do it.
Right.
So when you're a hypocrite, my, every day is the worst day of your life.
Right.
And it just gets worse and worse and worse. So God, in His mercy, has sent us His truth in this last day. Are you grateful for that?
Yes.
That we're not walking around in blinders anymore and we can see plainly what the plan of salvation is. But I want to tell you that there's so much hidden power in this. And just the revelation of who you are. But if you don't take the right approach, you'll never have any of it. It's just like a donkey walking with a stick attached to his head with a carrot hanging out there. Now look, God don't put the stick on your head. Man does that with his theology. Said, oh, we've got to do this and that. Before you know it, he's got a 5-mile stick out there. And now we can't even see what the promised God looks like anymore. That's not what God does. God, we're standing here and if we just look down, hey, there's carrots everywhere.
Yeah.
I'll just take a bite. Oh, I need some healing? Hey, it's laying right here. Christ paid for it all. The tree of life is standing there, putting down its fruits at all times. And the problem of it is, most denominations have picked up on that, but they're just eating the fruit. They never see where it actually came from in the first place. But not the blood of Christ. She said, she goes, well, if this is happening here, where did this come from? And before you know it, you're going to keep going back to Moses, back to Abraham, back to Adam. Before you know it, you're back in eternity again. Because that's where it all came from. Let's take a few examples of when this power was unlocked to somebody. Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. We'll go down to verse 9 or 18. Sorry. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Let's just backdrop that for a second. Here's a man who is a ruler, who worshipped Jesus Christ, a man of good reproach, of good authority. And he says, my daughter's dead, but I've got enough faith that if you'll come lay hands on her, she'll get well. You think this would take top priority over everything else Jesus was going to do. Right? Here's this man. He's a high ruler. He's got his daughter. He wants to get healed. I'll come. And he did. He said, come on, disciples, come check this out. But on the way there, watch what happens. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. You think Jesus is too busy? As he's going, there's Jairus' daughter. He's going to go. On the way there, a woman just touches the hem of his garment. We'd have thought, oh, he's busy. You know, he'll just keep going. No, that faith stopped him. And he had to turn around and say, your faith has made you whole. How many times do you think that's happened with us? We think he's busy. Oh, he's busy with Brother Donnie or some other big name. No. He loves them too. Don't worry. He went to Jairus' daughter and raised her up. But at the same time, anyone that had faith that ever touched him, he took notice of it and went and did it. Now, we've all heard that testimony. I believe so anyhow. Turn over to Matthew 14 for a minute. Matthew 14, 35. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. I wonder where they got that idea from. Whoo! And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So this woman, this little insignificant woman, Jesus is already busy going to go raise the dead. Her faith stops Jesus in his tracks just by touching the hem of his garment. But that was not the end of the story. That testimony so spread that these men of this town said, find everyone that's sick, let them touch the hem of his garment, and they will get well. It's just like David, wasn't it? There's Goliath standing there. David said, I'll take his head off. He goes up there and knocks him down. What did that do to every other Israelite? Let's take it. It gave him faith to take it. And you might be the one that has to trial for 12 years to finally get a result. But once that result breaks through, just look for the floodgates coming behind you of other people. Hold your salvation. Don't let go of it. Show that this is life. Show that what happens in your life is real, and watch other people want it.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If somebody's sick, unlock God's power. He said, lay your hands on the sick, they'll recover. Right. By simplicity, how do I do that? Just do it. Yeah. And not just haphazardly either. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to do this because I'm a believer.
Yes.
I'm not doing it because I'm an unbeliever. I'm doing it because I am a believer. I'm not an unbeliever trying to get evidence to make me believe. I already believe.
Yes.
And once I do this, it's finished. Because God don't vindicate things that's not his word. Hope it's all right to share. Well, you know, I've had students come to church and things, and I've had, plenty of testimonies where I've laid hands on people there. I actually post them on my walls just in case anybody wants to read them. And of kids getting healed. And I had, I've been having a little pain here, and it actually hurt me pretty good on Friday, but I'm feeling all right now by the grace of God. But I had a student come up, and he put his hand on me. I knew what he was doing, but I felt bad at the same time because I had to tell him, look, it says these signs follow them that believe.
Yes.
And if you just confess to me that you're not a believer, it does me no good for you to lay your hands on me. You have to believe it first, then do it. And then the problem with most people, like we said, why are they confused? They think, well, if there's this big old God, I should just be able to find him any old way I want to. No, you must come God's provided
Amen.
Way.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for last Wednesday's sermon? God's provided way through his name.
Amen.
His access to all the promises of God. That's why when you leave the name of Jesus Christ, you've left all the benefits of the gospel.
Yeah.
Why do you think God hated that Trinity so much? Because it took the power away from the people when they left his name. But God would not let it stay so. Yeah. God came down and revealed what that name was.
Yeah.
And it was both Mr. Jesus Christ and Mrs.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Packing the same life.
Yeah.
The same power. And it's opened the same way through simplicity. Where you just walk a Christian life. You're not trying to be odd. You're not trying to be
right.
weird and different. And just going around and just saying, it gets religious, doesn't it? Oh, just hallelujah. I'm a Christian. But don't do that. You'll bring more reproach upon it than anything. If you don't mean it from your heart, don't let it come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You know what that means? You're a hypocrite.
Right.
That's what Jesus said. He said, how can you, being evil, say good things? Because he knew their hearts. They're evil. And here you're trying to say good things. It's not lining up. You're just an old hypocrite, but not the Son of God. Actually, when you speak negative, you're being a hypocrite. Do you understand that? Because you're not negative. We are all positive.
Yes.
We've got a life in us that never even knew what negative was. Because
yes.
before negative even showed up, it already had the positive to pay for it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, you say, well, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Is that what the Bible said? Last I checked, the Bible said, from the foundation of the world, he was slain.
Amen.
Jesus was serving the communion before he even got to the cross.
Yes.
Victory was already won.
Right.
Hallelujah. Think of King David again. Remember, Samuel just came, just anointed him king, went on his way, looked like nothing happened. David knew, though, if this is really God's promise, I don't have to do anything. I'll just keep serving the way I'm supposed to be serving. God will bring it to pass. Isn't that what he did?
Amen.
He went right back, took care of those sheep just like he always did. When he got called out to war, he didn't go. He couldn't go the first time. He had to go just to bring them food. So when he finally, when he just took his time, he said, all right, God, whatever. Most of us was, oh, man, let's say the Lord, I'm going to be king. Okay, let's go find him. Let's go cut his head off. I'm king. That's not the way a son of God takes the word of God.
Right.
If it's really God's word, it will stand time and eternity.
Right.
It can never fail. So as David, we know the story. He kills Goliath and things. He becomes a captain. And then he even came to the point where Saul was right in his hands. And he could have killed him on two occasions. But he couldn't do it. Because he knew, if I'm to be king, God will make me king. And it's the same with us. People are trying to be the bride. Trying to do this and do that, and you're going to earn it somehow, and now I deserve it, and now I'm in heaven. You're in heavenly places by faith. God said he'd be here. I believe it. He's here. I have need of him. I will ask him. Not amiss now. It must be in faith. Which means the actual substance. Faith is real. Faith is not imaginary. That's what the world will tell you. Oh, I just have faith in this and faith in that. It's just, you might as well say I got fiction in this because that's all it is. Real, genuine faith is a down payment for all the promises of God.
Yeah.
Brother Brandon, or that's why the Bible says even if it's just a mustard seed that's packing so much power that it can take out mountains. It's time for the bride to get a little bit into the privileges of God, I think. We're just living way too far down. Just let the devil give us a little too much of his things. Actually, I don't think we should take anything the devil gives us.
Right.
We just keep handing it right back
Amen.
All the time. In the name of Jesus, I don't need this sickness. I don't need this depression. I don't need to think all this negative thought. That's not going to happen to my child. You have those thoughts, don't you?
Yes, amen.
No, sir. Same in the days of Noah. I can imagine Noah as he was getting the plan from God. I'm sure he was tempted the same all of us were. He's sitting there putting together, and before you know it, you got looking over there. And our brother, Reverend Jones Smith III, he's got a He's got kind of a revelation of God. He's building some kind of boat out there. Looks like it's made out of nuclear titanium alloy. You know, he's like, man, I wonder, what am I doing here with this slime and these holy pieces of wood? And then he comes back and says, but God told me to do it right.
That's right.
And Noah didn't build the ark because he thought he was a good architect either. He said, well, God, you told me to do it this way. I'll do it this way. And he did. He built the ark. And guess what? Reverend Jones Smith III died. And I bet right before when he jumped, shipped off of his, trying to get to Noah's, it was too late. And that's the way it is going to be in the end time. There's no reason anybody should be lost. There's no reason in the days of Noah people should have been lost. That boat was right there the whole time. All they do is walk over there and step inside. But they didn't like the way God revealed himself.
Right.
Why wasn't he in, Reverend Jones Smith III? Because God doesn't come through intellectualism. He doesn't come through a man-made way. He ordained his own way before the foundation of the world. And don't think that God is arrogant and he picked his way just because he wanted to. No, it's the only way that works.
Yes.
He's thought it through all the way through. When he knew that flood was coming, he's like, I know one kind of boat that'll make it through there. It takes wood. It takes slime. It takes some pitch. You let it sit there for a little while. That's why it probably took 120 years. I bet it had to cure up real good and everything. God just... It all works together.
Yes.
When we think things are hitting a mess, they're not hitting a mess. They're hitting right on time. Every time. Even I just heard Brother Alexander was talking about, you remember Hezekiah? He prayed for 15 more years.
Yeah.
Do you know that Manasseh, his son, when he took over, was only 12 years old?
Yeah.
Then God promised David that his seed would be forever, that it would never end. It all works together for good. How about Daniel in the lion's den for a minute? Daniel, a man of high reputation. He was one of the best rulers in the kingdom. That's the reason they even got mad at him. Don't you want to live a life that the only thing they can think of is how can we get against him by getting against his God? That's what the kind of life I want to live.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe we can. Because it's not us living it anyhow.
Right.
It's Christ living within us.
Yes.
And Christ was back there too. Don't you worry about that. Christ was in Daniel. That seed was in him. Now he always had the desires of sin. He couldn't be freed from that. But still, amidst all of that, he served God with all his heart. And when he did something wrong, I'm sure he gave that offering with all his heart every time. Remember, they made a decree. And if you use your mind for this, you'd come up with a different equation. But Daniel, when they made that decree, saying, if you pray to any other god, you're going to die. Some people probably thought, well, you know, I'll still pray, but I'll do it by the dictates of this nation. Isn't that how I can mark the beast a little bit? That's exactly what it'll be. Look, you can't be ashamed of Christ no matter what comes.
No matter what.
Daniel knew what would happen. And the Bible specifically says that for you and me, doesn't it? He knew the decree was signed. What would happen if they saw him praying? You know what the Bible said he did? He opened the doors and got down, not just once, three times a day, and lifted up his hands and gave thanks to God.
Amen.
It says, as he did before.
Yeah.
It's time to stop letting the world influence our relationship with Christ. It should be constant every day.
Yes.
I don't care if you're sad, get up and pray. I don't care if you're tired, get up and pray. Give your relationship to God preeminence. And all these other things that you spend time on will take care of themselves.
Amen.
And as he knew that decree was signed, he knew what would happen. And it came to pass. He wasn't worried about it. Even the king didn't want him to get thrown in there, but he said, I can't do anything about it. My hands are tied. I already said it. He said, Daniel, let your gods that you serve day and night save you. He threw him in there. Daniel just waited. Lions ain't moving for some reason. Who knows if he saw the pillar of fire right away, all right? He was standing there, and before you know it, hey, what's that? It's the creator of the universe standing in this room. You don't have to see him to know that he's here. Even the time that he did visibly show here, I already told the church before he got here, he's here now. Because he's always here.
Yes.
But there's times where he lets that presence, he lets us pass the curtain of time a little bit and get a little peek into what eternity really looks like.
Yes.
Can you imagine not having to worry about tomorrow because there is no such thing?
Yeah.
The word goodbye is not in our vocabulary anymore. I hope to see you soon, but those negative feelings, even fear and anxiety and all these things that they don't exist there because they're temporal. And anything temporal, anything that was created, will be destroyed. I wish people in the message apply that to themselves. If you were created, you have to be destroyed. So the only way you could be eternal was that you were never even really created in the first place. You always were.
Yes.
The sons of God were shouting before the foundation of the world. And I believe if Christ was the only one standing there, he must have been shouting because we were in there and shouting with him. Hallelujah, Lord. But what unlocked Daniel's, what unlocked him? He just had a prayer life. That's where God was hidden, inside a man that had a prayer life. And look at the miracle God did. How many, every denomination in the world knows Daniel in the lion's den from one man that had a solid prayer life. That's all it was. And at the time, they didn't think nothing of it, did they? They didn't think there was anything special about Daniel. That's why they made a decree to get him killed. Because they just didn't like him. They didn't think God would come back up his word. They think the same thing about you and I.
Right.
Standing up against the systems of the whole world, not willing to compromise on anything. They think, oh, you're just a bunch of renegades. But let them come try to fight it one time. And every time they fight, God shows up. I love this example. I'm going to try to finish on this. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. Enjoying the word this morning. Daniel chapter 3. We'll start at verse 10. There was another decree signed one time by the king. And I'll just read it here for you. Verse 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth down, not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And if you look up that golden image was Daniel.
Right.
It was an image of Daniel. And that's why I believe here you don't see Daniel getting persecuted. Because they didn't expect him to bow down to his own image. But these other three.
Right.
Who do they make an image of? The prophet of God.
Yeah.
And they want people to bow down to him. And it's the same in this message. You better be careful of that. You're not here to worship William Branham.
Right.
Now, if you don't respect his office, I'll tell you what, you're in trouble too. Because anytime somebody stood against an office of God, they didn't last very long.
Right.
But there's a big difference between respecting and worshiping.
Right.
Worship all goes to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Prophet God said the same thing. No man of God has ever said any different. Even when he stood there in Revelation, you remember the angel? He tried to bow down and said, don't worship me.
Right.
I'm of your brothers, the prophets. Worship God.
Right.
Even Jesus in flesh, which we know he was both man and God, when the man part was talking, he said, "Don't even, it's not even me doing it. Worship God."
Amen.
Showing us how to do it, didn't he?
Right.
He did a pretty good job, didn't he?
Yes.
So these three servants, they don't want to bow down at this image. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. Now let me stop there for a minute. This answer here, I believe, gets misinterpreted very many times. Let me show you what they actually said here. It said, remember, who are they talking to? They're talking to the king of the world at this point. And why do you think he's so mad? Because there's these people, to him, are just little Jews. Remember, they took over their nation. They're just little captives. And they won't do what I said. That's why I said he was furious. Because he's a man that believes he has authority. But there was one authority he wasn't allowed to step over. And you'll find out later that he learned that. When he tried to step the authority of God, he became a wild beast. The Bible says for seven times over until his nails were like eagle's claws. And he said, "There's a God in heaven, and I'm here to worship him. We're going to worship that God."
Yes,
yeah. Amen. What verse was I on? 16. Thank you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." So what's their first confession? A lot of people think, I'll read the next verse here in a minute, that they didn't believe they might not be delivered, that it might not happen. No, he just said, he will deliver us out of your hand. And of course, you'll see why he gets so mad, because now he's like, who do you think you are? Well, it's not me anyways. It's the God that I'm serving that's backing me up. That's who's here. It was the same with Moses, right? Moses, this little castaway person that's been gone 40 years, shows up and says, hey, God said, let the people go. Pharaoh said, who are you, buddy? You're the kid that got the D and flunked, you know? You're the one that's renegade, had to get kicked out of school. Who do you think you are? And that's why it wasn't Moses saying, let my people go. He said, the God of Israel hath said, let mine, not Moses, let God's people go. And once you got the authority backing you up, isn't that what Brother Branham said about the Word of God? If you take the Word of God, all heaven is backing you up. Because he will not let one word of his word fail. So they believed when they were going to go to this fiery furnace, because they know it's coming. They said, he'll deliver us. Now watch verse 18, but I love this. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Why did he get so mad all of a sudden? Because now they're saying, well, look, here's the deal. We're going to get delivered out of this fiery furnace. But even if God didn't, we are not worshiping your image.
Right.
We don't care. We have already sold out.
Yeah.
You can take your false religion and get out. We are serving the God of heaven.
Yeah.
And now you see why Nebuchadnezzar blew up on him. And he said, don't even just throw him in. Make it 7 times hotter than it ever was. And it was so hot. Whew, I just love this. It was so hot that only God could survive it.
Yeah.
Because the men that threw them in there, if you read the story, they burned up and died.
That's right.
It was so hot. You can't burn the Holy Ghost because he's fire himself. He's the eternal fire. You know, people get eternal hell out of that. That's not what that's talking about. It said the fire is eternal because the fire, the pillar of fire. Isn't that what the Bible says? It said that Christ will destroy them with the brightness of his glory, which means he doesn't got to lift a finger. Just him is enough to destroy them all. And him stepping into the fiery furnace was all they needed. Hallelujah. I don't care what furnace you're walking up to. I don't care what the devil's trying to bluff at you. Stand on the word of God. We will not worship you, devil.
Amen.
How do you worship God? How do you worship Satan? By confessing what he says.
Yep.
Well, I'm just hurting. I'm just never going to get no better. I just have to deal with it. No, you're confessing the devil's.
Nice.
The devil's lie. The devil is such a bluff. He can do nothing unless you give him your power.
Right.
Hallelujah. Let's bring this down. When they walked into that fiery furnace, remember what happened? The king said, hey, wait a minute. I thought we threw 3 in there. Now I see, not only are they walking around, which I'm already baffled by that, but there's 4 down there. And he said the 4th one's like the Son of God. And who was the one that was like the Son of God? Do you remember when we preached that? That was Melchizedek standing there.
Yeah.
One made alike unto the Son of God. God stepped down. He saw him going there. God responds to faith in any form he wants to. And when he watched him start to walk into that fiery furnace, he said, you know what? I so appreciate that faith. I'll just step in there with him for a little while. And he said, all right, let me get my theophany for a minute. And I'll come stand there. The fire it touched everything but them. Do you understand that? Because
yes.
It even broke their bands. They were loose when they walked through there. People afraid of the fire of God. It's the best thing that can ever happen to you. But the devil will lie to you as you watch the presence of God come down and you feel that all around. You watch a sinner sometimes, if he's not in the right conditions, he'll be so terrified. Because it's just like those men walking in that fiery furnace. It's the same atmosphere. Because if you don't accept God's mercy, you do accept his judgment.
Right.
Yes. You watch the other men that walked in that fire or were right outside the doors, there was no mercy for them. They were burned up right there. It's the same thing in the end time. God in his mercy. Shouldn't we be so happy that we're not walking into the fire by ourselves? We are walking with the fire within us that can outlast anything else. And you say, well, okay, how do I know? How can I know that this is me? I know, this can be real deep. You just hold on for a minute. Smyrna Church Age. The cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Anybody still holding on to that religion? Or you go ahead and get rid of it. Cloudy skies and bad times have no sign of his disapproval. None whatsoever. Neither now, let's hold this one true as well. Neither are the bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. So just because things are going good doesn't mean you're in good fellowship with God. His approval of any of us is only in the Beloved. Who's the Beloved? Christ Himself. Your only favor to God is to get in Christ. That's all you can do. And there's only one way to do that. To repent, to be baptized in Jesus Christ's name, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost proves that you're in the body of Christ.
Amen.
His love is elective, which He had for us before the foundation of the world. Does He love us? Oh, yes. But how shall we know? Here's how you know God loves you. We shall know because He said so.
Amen.
And manifest that He did love us, for He brought us to Himself and gave us of His Spirit, placing us as sons. And how shall I prove my love to Him? By believing what He said, and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that He in His wisdom allows to come to pass.
Amen.
You think going to work with just a smile on your face is that big a deal? He just said that's how you show you're giving God praise.
Right.
This is how you're living a life pleasing to God, when no matter what's going on, you got a smile on.
Right.
And I ain't talking just some made up joy. You got something on the inside. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Something that taps into a realm beyond anything that's going on right now and can pull benefits from it. When everything in your life falls apart, you've got to have the anchor of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to do it. And where is it at? It's just the Word.
Yes.
I don't even want to say it's just the Word. This is the only thing there is to live for. You say, even thus saith the Lord. Even if a prophet of God, I could read it. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to close on this right here. I was reading this, and this is so... Oh, I love it. Coming out of the Hebrews book. But however you see, it just goes to show that people don't pay attention to what you're saying, see? Certainly, if I prayed for a person and I tell them people they're going to live, I believe they're going to live. But no matter if my word was absolutely, thus saith the Lord, and you would disbelieve it, you die anyhow.
Yes.
Woo. Certainly, here is thus saith the Lord. And many of them receive it and die. And many of them go to hell when thus saith the Lord. You don't have to. Is that right? You know every person is saved potentially right now. Because and we read it in the Bible. It said that He died for the sins of the world, especially for those that believe. So even those that don't believe, He died for it. Why aren't they benefactors of it? Because they won't believe it. They won't believe the simple word. When God said in Malachi 4 that He would send Elijah the prophet to restore all things, they think, oh my, that man would have to just be, oh, the best preacher you ever heard. You know, Brother Branham said he wasn't the greatest preacher. And I'll tell you what, if you actually look at it as far as his eloquence and things, yeah, you could say he's not that great of a preacher in that sense. But I tell you what, the bride don't care about that. She's listening, what's the substance behind this? And when the life of Christ is what's being presented, that's all I've ever wanted. That's all I ever need. And that's when you find the true word of God, because it feeds the inner man. Way down on the inside. And it's so simple that it happens all the time in our lives. And so many times I think we just take it for granted. We get kind of used to it after a while. That's not a bad thing if you got the right attitude. I think we should be in the presence of God to where it's normal, to where this is what happens every day. But it still should have that phenomenon behind it. Woo! This is Almighty God. How many believes tonight? Let's stand together. Let's even sing that, can we? Let's just only believe. I'm going to emphasize that word too. Let's just only believe this morning. You have a need of God? Just believe it. Don't add. Don't take away. Don't wait for a week later when you think you got enough works that you actually deserve this blessing from God. Let's take it right now.
Yeah.
And as we worship God, what did the Bible say? In the mouth of babes, thou hast perfected praise. That He would inhabit the praises of His people. When you sing this, you have to recognize God's presence is within me singing this now. Let's sing this reverently with all our hearts, not worrying about nobody else, not worrying about lunch, not worrying about what's going on. Let's give God our praise. Let's give Him our testimony that we believe His word this morning. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Oh, yeah. receive.
And Lord, I receive.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I.
Oh, you believe he's here now? Let's sing it. Oh, we believe, Lord,
is here. Oh, Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Jesus is here.
Every head bowed. Did you come with a need this morning from God? You got the faith in your heart to know that you've received it this morning. Even if you've got to pray, Lord, help my unbelief. That's the time to pray it right now. We don't leave church with needs, church. We should leave this building with our needs met. You have one desire you've held back, that your joy's not full this morning. Let's go ahead and lift that to the Lord. Not to me now, but to the Lord God of heaven and earth. I believe you'll receive what you have need of. Let him show it to you that he's already given it to you. Sing, Lord, I receive again with all hearts.
And Lord, I receive. Lord,
Jesus, praise your name.
And Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive.
Oh, can we just worship in a minute? Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you this morning. Thank you for loving me, Lord, and taking care of me. Thank you, Lord, for your providing hand. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I praise you. I love you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, just bask in his presence. Just give him praise and honor. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by.
Oh, you believe this morning, he's passing by.
Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy.
Praise this morning. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, as we prepare to go, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I've enjoyed myself as well. I appreciate all of you coming. Pray that that sticks in your life, that every day you'll take that simplicity of God and apply it. You wouldn't have to ever leave God's presence. We could stay right with our Maker as He desired. As we go, prepare to leave. See, I'm not used to depending on my voice. I'm used to having Dad there, but I think I know what song I want to sing. We'll sing that. On the Wings of a Dove. You're dismissed if you need to go. That's song 18 in our books. Bow our heads for our brother Jerry that's sick. Heavenly Father, we just raise this man up to you. You know all about it, Lord. You know the ins and outs, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that our sister brought this request here. That, Lord, you could come and show yourself mighty once again. We pray that your Holy Spirit would go to the scene, or that it would change from this moment forward. Lord, as the word comes out of my mouth, let it not be my word, but maybe your word, that he is healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe it as a group of believers. Let our faith combine, Lord, and may this promise come to pass. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. I'm glad you didn't forget that. As you're dismissed this morning, song 18.
No one had drifted on the flood many days. He searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from
Hallelujah.
Came to earth one day.
God is
simplicity now.
He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay. Though here rejected,
oh, hallelujah.
But not from above, God gave him his son on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a swallow. The Father above, He gave me His Son on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a strong white dove. God sends His glory, love, a sign from above. Jesus our Savior came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay. Though here rejected, but not from above,
oh, thank you, Lord God.
On the wings of a dove.